So whether you have money in the pre-tax accounts where the IRAs and 401ks are, you can have some money in the tax-free bucket, you know, generally Roth IRAs, could be municipal bonds as well, or you have after-tax money, could be money at the bank. So you have those three pockets of money, and you can go ahead and use distributions from those different pockets to go ahead and stay under those sorts of income targets and make the most out of the ACA tax credit.
Welcome to Retire Smarter with Kevin Kroski. Find answers to your toughest questions and get educated about the financial world. It's time to retire smarter.
Thanks for joining us again on Retire Smarter. Walter Storholt here with you alongside Kevin Kroski, President, Wealth Advisor, True Wealth Design, serving you in Northeast Ohio, the greater Pittsburgh area, and in Southwest Florida, where he joins us from today. You can also find us online at truewealthdesign.com. Kevin, what's going on in your world?
Walt, just, I don't know, just wrapping up the year-end work that we're doing for our clients, kind of getting ready for the holidays. Fourth quarter is always really busy, but we are through kind of the peak demand time and had many, many meetings over the last several weeks, and everything went great.
And hey, final episode of 2021. I can't believe another year of podcasts in the books.
Yes, yeah, looking forward to many more.
Yep, and we've been piling up the episodes throughout this year, that's for sure. And we've got a great final topic for you today, inspired by a blog that Kevin wrote a little over a year ago, October of 2020, you wrote this, and it was a blog that had the greatest blog title, I think, of all time. Can you repeat that for us, Kevin, what that blog title was?
That's a big setup, but the title of the article was How to Get a $16,168 Tax Credit on Obamacare Even If You Are Affluent.
How is that crammed for a good all sorts of good keywords into that headline?
It's literally, it's like one of the most read articles on our website. Yes,
that's amazing. That's pretty cool. That obviously that you can track that and know that. That's pretty neat. And I'm sure the headline had something to do with that. I love how specific you are with the dollar amount in the headline as well. Now, as with most things this past year, there have been changes. And so today's our opportunity to kind of update folks who might have come across that article or maybe never read it in the first place. But it sounds like there's that opportunity is still there for folks this year, even with the changes you're going to detail for us today.
You got it. Yeah, not only is it still there, but it's actually been enhanced and will apply to more people, both for this year and next. So what I thought I'd do today, the article, I went back and read it recently and just thought that, well, you know, I'll talk through it. I was, you know, sometimes I'm sure you've done some work, Walt, in the past where you maybe have seen the work that you've done and you've been, man, I could have done that better. I know I have.
Pretty much all the time. Yeah.
not to throw you under the bus and not drag me along with you.
Every time you throw me one of those curveball math questions.
But I read this. I'm like, wow, I don't think I could have said it any better. So I was really happy with what I wrote. And I tend to be pretty critical of myself. But I thought I would start talking through it as is, you know, as I wrote last year. Because with the changes for this year and next, if those aren't extended, this is what we're going to go back to anyway. And again, while it still applies, it applies to many of our clients. Intentionally, it applies because we help them qualify for it. So we'll talk about, you know, kind of, you know, what was and then what's improved and how it'll apply to more people. But to kind of set the stage a little bit, you know, you think about when you're working, generally people get their healthcare through their employer. Maybe they make a choice about which plan that they want during open enrollment, but you know, that's it. And then if they retire and they're over, say, 65 or better, then they'll go right on to Medicare at that point in time. But many, I would say actually most of our clients retire, you know, before they're Medicare eligible. So they have this gap. And we talked about this last year. I had a gentleman, Zig Novak, on as a guest. He's a health insurance professional that we work with, and he helps a lot of our clients and does a very good job at doing it. So we talked about some of those transition elements a year ago. If you're interested in that, you can dive in a little bit more. But today, we'll specifically talk about...
That would have been episode 58 for those who are interested, and 59, a two-part series.
Yeah, thank you, Walt. But today, this is really for those people that retire and aren't Medicare eligible, and they kind of have a decision. Are they going to go stay on COBRA for maybe 18 months, so continue their current employer coverage, but at their own cost, or go on to just call it an Obamacare or an ACA, Affordable Care Act plan. We'll call it ACA just for brevity's sake, onto an ACA plan. And if they do so, you know, can they get a tax credit? And should they can they be able to manipulate their income, even if they're affluent, to go ahead and do so. So it's really for those people that are before 65, but have retired. I guess technically, if you don't, if you're still working, but you don't have employer provided coverage, it could apply as well. But we're really, I guess, at least today for discussion purposes, going to address those people that have retired, but aren't on Medicare just yet. So when you think about just cost, well, two things. One thing I'll mention for COBRA, you know, I've often found that COBRA is a little bit cheaper, maybe a lot more than going ahead and getting an ACA policy. So that's always a starting point. Look at what, you know, and you know that insurance coverage, you've become accustomed to it because you've probably been working there for a while. So that's always a good starting point. And then anything that you would do, I would suggest measuring it against that. But when you get into these ACA plans, the costs are based only on a few variables. It's based on your age, your location, specifically your zip code, and whether you use tobacco. So it's not based on any sort of underwriting or pre-existing condition or anything like that. And when I wrote that article that we mentioned, I did have an example that I talked about. And so I have some real data from that. So I called our example husband and wife, David and Susan. And David and Susan were both 60 years old, and they both live in Summit County, zip code 44333, which is where our office is located, coincidentally. And
really friendly folks.
They're awesome people. Yes. All the people that we work with, I mean, they're honestly, it's being in Florida and then being in Northeast Ohio. I mean, Florida is definitely more of a melting pot, as you could imagine. The Midwestern people are, you know, nothing against all my neighbors that I have in Florida that are from Jersey or what have you, but it's just different type of people, different style. So I have a fond affection for the Midwesterners, that we serve and that are in our local communities there too. So, but yeah, my hopefully my neighbors aren't from Jersey, aren't tuning into this. Nothing against them, just a little different.
So. I'm wearing my New Jersey Devils t-shirt today while we're hosting the show, Kevin. I mean, I just feel like I got thrown under the bus a little bit.
Well, you're in North Carolina, Walt. We'll have to save that for another day.
This is true. All my family's from Jersey, that's all.
Got it. I would not have guessed it. But did that sound like I was making a judgment? Anyway, back to the content. So David and Susan, fantastic people, as you said, 60 years old, Summit County, 44333. Premiums for catastrophic, or an AKA bronze plan, start at $18,000 per year in 2020. And they climbed to more than $27,000 per year for a gold plan. So I think most people are familiar with, you know, these plans, you know, medals that have been out. So bronze, a lower cost, much higher deductible. Gold, much higher cost and lower deductible, and silver, obviously, in between. So that's what we're looking at in dollar terms. So pretty significant. One of the things, whenever this comes up for people like Dave and Susan, I always try to reassure them, like, look, you know, once you get onto Medicare, it's going to be much less. So even if you are paying that, we need to build that into your financial plan. But even if that is the case, it's terminable. It's only for, you know, a relatively short period of time. You know, even if you're retiring, say at 60, you know, you're talking about 5 years to bridge the gap to Medicare. So it's there. A lot of times that you hear people say that they're going to retire at, you know, like 63 and a half, because then they know that they can take COBRA for 18 months and go on to Medicare at 65. Not a bad plan, but maybe not necessary, as long as you're kind of measuring things and accounting for these increased healthcare costs, even before we talk about any ACA tax credit. So when you kind of work down through here, so there's something called a premium tax credit, or I'll call PTC for short, premium tax credit. And that's that, you know, that $16,000 plus potential savings per year. So let's dig into a little bit about how that works. So the PTC, it effectively caps what you pay for premiums, for these health insurance premiums, as a percentage of income. And generally under, you know, I'll call it the old rules, you know, pre-2021, it capped what you paid at between 2 to 10% of income. And if your income was really low, it would be 2% of income. If your income was as much as, well, in 2020 when I wrote this for David and Susan, they could have income up to $67,640. So $67,640. But if they went over that, even by a single dollar, they were ineligible for a premium tax credit. So there is a real, a huge cliff there. So one, if we were planning for this, we had to be really precise and not go over that cliff if that's what we were targeting. And this is based on something called the federal poverty line. So this number changes every year. But basically, you know, if your income was over 400% of the federal poverty line, you know, and that 400% was that 67,640 number I mentioned, then that's where you were no longer eligible for the premium tax credit. So you have this, again, this kind of a cap. Think of that as an expected contribution. So if we just use, just say round numbers, let's just say $60,000 is your income. 10% of $60,000. Walt, is how much?
10% is $6,000.
Good job, buddy. I we need to have like a little applause background.
New sound effect. There you go. How's that? I'll work on it. We'll take the live sound effect today. Yeah.
Yeah, there you go. That was my my actual hands doing the clapping. good job. So it's going to cap your expected contribution at about $6,000, which, again, think about what we just said for the premiums. We said, hey, their premiums for a bronze plan would be $18,000, the gold plan $27,000. So if you're going to get something capped at $6,000, you know, that's looking pretty good. But the way that the formula actually works is the premium tax credit is equal to the expected contribution less a reference plan. And again, this is a government program, so it gets a little technical and wonky, but less the second lowest cost silver plan. So it's just a benchmark plan, and it varies by zip code and by age. And it's in the formula. So literally, if you ever filled out your own tax form and you're claiming this tax credit, it's going to ask you for that second lowest cost silver plan. And you have to figure that in to go ahead and calculate your tax credit. So in short, I'm looking at the article here, and the cost for this plan for David and Susan based on their age and their zip code that year was $16,506, so, or $1,376 a month. So again, kind of, I guess, in between. So that was based on 2019, and that was, so not to... If anybody's paying close attention here, I just said $16,506 for the second low cost silver plan. But previously I said, you know, $18,000 per year in 2020 for a bronze plan. So you may say, hey, that doesn't make sense. What do you mean? Well, you know, the reference plan for 2019, prices increased going to 2020. So if anybody's paying close attention, which I imagine I may be the only one that if I didn't point that out, they may not have gotten it. but nonetheless, you know, these plans have increased a good bit, and that's why there's that difference that's there. But the long and short of it, again, if you take what their second lowest cost silver plan and relate it to their expected contribution, that's how you come up with the tax credit. So if at 400% of the federal poverty limit or $67,000 and change of income, their tax credit would be approximately $9,800. If they went further down the income scale, and let's say that they were only at, you know, 100% of the federal poverty line, their tax credit would be more than $16,000. Technically, they could be as much as $16,168, as I mentioned in the title. So, Walt, I know there was a lot that was in there, and I apologize for it.
If you asked me to give you a percentage of those numbers all combined together, now I'm in trouble.
No. So, but here's the gist. Let me recap this. Again, what the law was here designed to do is really cap the how much somebody's going to pay for healthcare and to a certain percentage of their income. If you go over that 400% of the federal poverty line, which again was $67,000 and change for Dave and Susan in 2020, then you know there's a cliff and they get no tax credit above that. And then there's this reference to the second lowest cost silver plan. Really, it's in my view, you know, people are going to make their choices whether they're going to get a bronze plan, a silver plan, or a gold plan, or whatever. You know, you can still choose what you want, but they're giving you a tax credit related to, you know, a benchmark plan, or an actual cost of a plan in your market. some markets may be a little bit more expensive than others. And so kind of it factors in some of those regional differences too in providing these credits. But so that's the gist of it. But the tax credit can be quite substantial. So again, if David and Susan are getting nearly $10,000 a year at that 400% of the federal poverty line, I mean, it's huge. It's $10,000 of free money as long as you plan for it accordingly. And in terms of the planning for it, you know, this is really where you get into some of the tax smart retirement distribution planning. You may say, well, hey, I can't keep my income that low. Well, it depends on, you may not be able to, but you certainly may. We have many affluent clients that have, you know, quite sizable investment accounts, and we can keep their income that low so they can get that tax credit. So if you have all your money in an IRA or 401k, for example, and you need to live on $100,000 per year, well, you may have to pull out $115,000 from the 401k to go ahead and net that $100,000 after taxes. So you get a zero premium tax credit in that case. However, if you have cash at the bank, you know, you pull that money out with no tax consequence. It's after tax money. Or if you have, you know, Roth accounts or something like that, those, you know, all these accounts have different tax implications. So whether you have money in the pre-tax accounts where the IRAs and 401ks are, again, money's fully taxable when it comes out. You can have some money in the tax-free bucket, you know, generally Roth IRAs, could be municipal bonds as well. So that money's going to come out tax-free, or you have after-tax money, could be money at the bank, no tax implication pulling that out, or you could have maybe an investment account that you have some capital gains to be mindful of, you know, some dividends and interest and things like that. So you have those three pockets of money, and you can go ahead and use distributions from those different pockets to go ahead and stay under those sorts of income targets and make the most out of the ACA tax credit. Walt, you're with me so far.
I'm with you. It sounds like you're leading toward, hey, even if you're affluent and you don't, you know, there's a big delta, obviously, between, I'm trying to drop in a Kevin word here, between like that threshold, what the 400% level of the poverty line versus, you know, someone who's needing to live off of 100,000 plus per year. It's hard to make up that difference. But if you have some different places where you can pull income from, that's how we can keep the number much lower. And maybe what you pay a little bit in taxes on one side is much less than the big credit that you can get by, you know, kind of moving some of these numbers around. Makes all of this effort and the work worth it to have all of this savings in the healthcare side.
Yeah, no, it certainly can. I mean, you can get creative here a lot of ways. I mean, we have a couple client cases where, you know, they have a home equity line of all their money's in an IRA or 401k. So it's, you know, it's all pre-tax. And so they're like, oh man, we can't do this. I'm like, well, maybe, you know, you have a home that's paid off. You have this credit line, or we can set one up. You know, current rates are probably in the 2% range, no more than 3 or so. So let's say that you needed $100,000 to live off of. I'm just kind of keep this example pretty simple here, but let's say it was paying, you know, you were charged 3% for the interest over the course of the year. So that's $3,000. But we're talking about getting a $10,000 tax credit. So what would you rather have, $3,000 in interest or $10,000 tax credit?
Oh yeah, I'll definitely take the tax credit.
Yeah, you're going to net $7,000 even after you pay the interest, and you're going to be better off than if you just pulled it out of the 401k. So, you know, that's a creative way, you know, that we've used this for some people. But the point being is, I mean, it's quite substantial. So you certainly want to be mindful of it if this situation does apply to you. But what's the infomercial? But wait, there's more.
Yeah, the late Billy Mays. Right?
But wait, there's more. So under the American Rescue Plan of 2021, so this was kind of the third round of stimulus checks that was passed in March. Some changes were made to this for 2021 and 2022. And the tax proposal that's being pushed around in Washington right now is looking to make this change permanent as well. We'll see how the sausage gets made, but it is law for 21 and 22. And the big change, there's two. One, that cap. So where before, basically, that cap was about 10% of your income. That cap has been lowered to be no more than 8.5%. So getting a little bit of improvement there. And there's no more cliff after you get over that 400% of the federal poverty line. So it basically just grades out over time. If you, I mean, just kind of use a crazy example. I mean, if you had $1 million of income and you have 8.5% of that, well, you know, you can pay up to $85,000 for your health insurance under this, and ergo, you get no premium tax credit. But I had a client last week, and he was just getting over some surgery, and it was a little bit painful, and he was recovering. And then he also got this tax increase notice for his premiums next year. And I was talking to his wife, and she's like, "Oh, Bob's just, oh, he's really upset." I'm like, "Well, let me give Bob a little good news here." So in their case, their income was going to be around $150,000. And I said, "You know, Bob, you know, with this rule that was passed, basically the way that it's going to work, you know, based on, you know, all the, that whole formula that I already went through, I'm not going to go through again, but he's going to get nearly a $10,000 healthcare premium tax credit, even though he's, you know, $150,000 of income, you know, well more than twice what the previous level had been." So, you know, he replied back. I shared this via email, replied back that, you know, "Hey, you know, thanks for reaching out, you know, getting over. This definitely does make me feel a little bit better." So there you go. But, you know, you can have a pretty sizable income is the point. You don't have to worry about that cliff anymore. So you still want to think about this pragmatically and really want to go through and figure out, well, how much income do I want to target? It was something we mentioned in the last podcast episode about a lot of work that we're doing right now for our tax smart distribution planning for our clients. And for many clients, we have an income target, and that income may be over really what they need for spending. But for tax planning purposes, it can make sense, and maybe moving some money from an IRA over to a Roth IRA up to and to meet that income target here. So like in the case that I just mentioned with, you know, the $150,000 of income, we could look to maybe take that higher. Maybe we want to take it up to $180,000. But what we have to do then is do the math and say, okay, if we do that, here's the income tax that client's going to pay, plus here's the loss credit that the client is going to not get by taking up their income higher. So when we add both of those dollars with the tax that they're going to pay, plus the tax credit that they're going to lose, then we can really figure out what their tax rate is over that next band of income. And that's really how we pull this all together and figure out, you know, what makes sense. If that, when we go through that example, if that combined tax rate is higher than what they're likely to pay in the future, then we'll want to keep their income lower and get more of a tax credit. But that's really, you know, I think for anybody that's in this group of retired and not on Medicare yet, this is something that is really huge. And now it applies to many, many more people because you don't have that cliff over, you know, $67,000 of income for a household of two, and much less than that if you're a single person.
So helpful to get that background, Kevin, and see some of the changes that have happened a little bit in this past year as well. I know that we covered a lot of numbers and a lot of moving parts. Folks might want to go back and listen to a piece of this episode again when you were kind of walking through all of that. But point being, this is where it pays to be a little creative with your planning, using the fact that you've done a great job of saving for retirement, saving for your financial future in various places, how you can start to use that flexibility to your advantage to take opportunity of these different things that pop up, like being able to save on these premiums. Great example of the creativity that I think you guys put into basically everybody's plan that walks through your door, right?
Yeah, I mean, you have to think, you know, it's not cookie cutter. Everybody's a little bit different. These tax laws have changed quite a bit over the last couple of years, and it looks like they're changing some more here. So yeah, I mean, it's, you have a plan. It's, you know, somebody has their lifestyle things that they want to do. We need to make sure that we first and foremost align all the resources to best, you know, enable them to do that. And then ultimately, we want to make sure that, you know, we do tech smart planning and keep them on track. So I know there was a lot in here. You know, this is something that when you think about the most common concerns of people that we work with, at least when they start working with us, you know, it's, hey, do I have enough money? Can I afford to retire? You know, what am I going to do about healthcare? And what am I going to do about taxes? You know, a lot of people are concerned that they're going to have to pay a lot more, you know, in the future. So those are the kind of the key concerns that in different forms, when we ask clients, you know, prospective clients, when they come in and talk to us, often that's what comes up in their own words. But if we could put it in a category, there's probably those four that I just mentioned. So all this is incredibly important. $10,000, I mean, that's, you know, I mean, if you're Bill Gates, maybe that doesn't matter much. But for all the clients that we work with, I don't know anybody that would just, you know, set $10,000 on fire and not pick up that tax credit if they can by just doing some smart planning. So yes, I feel it's really important. I think our clients do too. Also, with that being said, Walter, I haven't shared this with you, but you know, this is the last episode of the year, and I bought a book that I'm looking forward to reading, and it's called What Retirees Want. Is somebody that I respect recommended it to me, and it's definitely going to be on the softer side of retirement, and I'm going to look forward to reading that in the new year and then talking about it quite a bit over the next few episodes.
Nice. Is this like What Women Want, like the movie about 20 years ago, Mel Gibson, What Women Want, but What Retirees Want?
Oh, a little bit different. I do remember that movie. Like, he had the voices in his head, or he could hear them talk. And
he could hear all of their thoughts, I think it was, right? Yeah, yeah, exactly.
And this was before he had his big fall from grace.
This is before he went a little crazy. Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. Or maybe he was crazy, but we just didn't know it then.
That's right. That sounds more likely. Oh, man, too good. All right, well, I'll be looking forward to your feedback on that, and I think that'll be a new fun approach to kick off the new year with as well. It can be some of the nitty and gritty stuff like we talked about on today's episode. It can also be some of the basic things that Kevin mentioned, those common questions, those four concerns that repeat and come up for pretty much everyone who walks through the door. Whatever it is that's on your mind, if you'd like to have a one-on-one conversation with a member of the True Wealth team, you can certainly do that. All you have to do is go to truewealthdesign.com and click on the Are We Right For You button to schedule your 15-minute call with the team. Or you can give a call to 855-TWD-PLAN to set that up as well. 855-893-7526 is that number. And just check the show notes of today's show for that contact info as well. Kevin, been a great 2021 with you. Looking forward to turning the page to the new year in a couple of weeks with you as well. Hope you just enjoy time with family the next couple of weeks, and we'll hit it hard in the new year.
Likewise. Look forward to it. Merry Christmas and happy holidays, everybody.
Thanks so much. For Kevin Kroski, I'm Walter Storholt. We'll see everybody soon right back here on Retire Smarter.
Information provided is for informational purposes only and does not constitute investment, tax, or legal advice. Information is obtained from sources that are deemed to be reliable, but their accurateness and completeness cannot be guaranteed. All performance reference is historical and not an indication of future results. Benchmark indices are hypothetical and do not include any investment fees.